you're here.
Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair.
Everyone loves you.
We're glad you're here.
Reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 21, verse 4. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. Ho, ho, ho! Few things to say about that in just a moment. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's June 5th, 2013. Those of you that have tuned in for the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends for any period of time know that typically co-host Pastor Jason Schiffo joins me in the studio. Well, two things were going against us. He hurt his foot, so he couldn't make it over here. So we thought, no problem, I'll just call him up. Well, this is day number 3 that the phone service hasn't been working here at the home studio. So after texting back and forth a number of times, I'm going solo. But I hope and pray that some of the things that are shared and highlighted and the two songs that I picked out for you will be a blessing in your life. Hey, by the way, hummingbirds are back in full force. If your nectar is not out, get that hummingbird feeder up, and it's as simple as 1/3 or 1/2 sugar to water. Stir it up really well, and be amazed at those little hummingbirds. I'm seeing sightings every few minutes, so they're back in full force. I chose that verse out of John chapter 21 as I was looking for a good tie-in for one of my favorite all-time songs, Fernando Ortega's rendering of Give Me Jesus. So I'll play that in just a few minutes. But I have some summer reading recommendations for you. These are 4 books. 3 of them I'm in the midst of reading. I'm just about finished with one. 2 I've started the last few weeks. And 1 I finished about a month or 2 back. But if you're looking for excellent summertime reading, or for that matter, any time, I'd recommend you having all 4 of these in your library. God has used all of these in unique ways, and it's kind of interesting how oftentimes, if you've noticed, maybe it's happened in your life where there's been patterns of 3, maybe a theme that God is bringing to your mind, and a friend talks about it, you hear something on the radio, and then maybe your pastor preaches on it. Well, when I returned back from my trip to Israel a few months back, the first morning that I woke up, the theme rest came very strongly to my mind and heart, and that's never really happened before, that God was already giving me a theme for a future trip to Israel, but it was rest, be still, and know that I am God. And I was rather amazed, but in the last couple months, it seems like these 4 books all address aspects of that rest, or being alone with God, spending time with God, loving God, building margin into your life, following Jesus more intently. And so these 4 books, it seems like God has laid out to teach me some things over the coming months. And I think I'm going to be able to schedule interviews with at least 2, maybe 3 of the authors. The first one that I'd highly recommend, and I think I've purchased about 15 copies so far and have given them all away, it's called Loving the Way Jesus Loves, by Phil Rankin, and he's the president of Wheaton College. In fact, this is in my top 5 all-time favorite books. The problem being, it took me about 7 months to read because I'd read about 4 or 5 pages every night. And when I finally finished reading it and was so excited to call up Phil Rankin and schedule him to talk about the book over the air, the publicist said he's not doing interviews anymore. And I'm like, oh, no. But Loving the Way Jesus Loves by Phil Rankin, and it's R-Y-K-E-N. Highly, highly recommend this book. It's a life changer. And the people I've given copies to have absolutely loved it also. The second book that I just recently finished, it's called Prayer, The Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders by Dave Early. That's E-A-R-L-E-Y. Pastor Jason Schiffo initially loaned me his copy, and after one night I decided I needed to purchase my own. And we're working behind the scenes. I think Dave Early is currently on break, but we hope to interview him and talk about this book. But, oh, is it good. Praying with the Giants, Learn the Real Secret of Leadership. And it all begins with prayer, that intimacy with God. So I absolutely love that book, would highly, highly recommend it. Then one that I just started about a week ago. In fact, if you stop by my Facebook page, yesterday I was on my hammock on my deck, and spent about an hour reading through this, and I'm setting up a future interview with the author, Alan Fadling, and his book is entitled An Unhurried Life, Following Jesus' Rhythm of Work and Rest. Ha-ha! I like the back here. I am a recovering speed addict. Oh, here, let me just jump into the first chapter. I'm a recovering speed addict, and I don't mean the drug. I'm talking about the inner pace of my life. I always seem to be in a hurry. I was the guy who looked for the fast-moving lane on the freeway, the shortest checkout line at the grocery store, and the quickest way to finish a job. It's probably pathological. But like you, I also live in a hurried culture. I'm not the only one trying to get there more quickly and do things faster. In fact, there is little incentive out there to slow down. And the pace in the church doesn't seem all that different from the pace in the world around us. Oh, wow, is God using this book in my life? And I'm really excited about a future interview with the author. I'm into chapter 3 now, but one more that I'd highly recommend, Alan Fadling, F-A-D-L-I-N-G, An Unhurried Life. And then finally, Pastor Randy Gauger recommended this to me and sent me a copy a few weeks back. I usually read 2 or 3 listings a day. Each listing is like 2 pages with a theme and like an overview or a reflection. It's actually broken down into 180, if you will, devotional thoughts. And so I'll read you the introduction and an excerpt from the book that's titled A Minute of Margin, Restoring Balance to Your Busy Lives by Richard A. Swenson, M.D. And that's S-W-E-N-S-O-N. Do you see kind of a theme here, what I think God is bringing about in my life? Bringing better balance, slowing me down, helping me learn to love Him and love others, and spend lots of time in prayer. And a great way to launch into prayer is by seeking Almighty God through the Lord Jesus, by asking Jesus into your heart, into your mind, into your experience, into your day today. So as Fernando Ortega sings about giving me Jesus, may that message also resonate into your heart. And if you're listening to the re-airing of this morning's program in the evening, then allow Jesus to close out your day. Here's Fernando Ortega.
In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. And when I am alone, this world, but give me Jesus.
Oh, I just love that song. It must be about 15 or so years old, because I think I've been playing that over the air for as many years as I can remember. It's probably maybe even 20 plus years old. Well, as mentioned, here's the introduction to A Minute of Margin, Restoring Balance to Busy Lives by Richard A. Swenson, M.D., published by Nav Press. And if you're like me at all, I think you'll identify with what he's written. So sit back and let me read to you. Margin is like oxygen. Everybody needs some. If we have too little, we suffer from the shortage. If we have too much, the excess will not benefit us additionally. But having the right amount permits us to breathe freely. Margin is a space, specifically the space between our load and our limits. It is the space that enhances vitality and resilience. It is the space that guarantees sustainability. It is in this space where healing occurs, where our batteries are recharged, where our relationships are nourished, and where wisdom is found. Without margins, both rest and contemplation are but theoretical concepts, unaffordable and unrealistic. We do not follow 2 inches behind the next car on the interstate. That would leave no margin for error. We do not allow only 2 minutes to change planes in Chicago. That would be foolish in the extreme. We do not load boats until they are nearly submerged. That would invite disaster. Why then do we insist on leaving no buffer, no space, no reserves in our day-to-day? Not to romanticize the past, but there was a time when people had some margin in their lives, at least more than we do today. People lingered at the dinner table, helped the kids with homework, visited with the neighbors, took long walks, dug in the garden, and slept full nights. None of this was regarded as unusual, but instead represented the normal flow of daily affairs. In our current era of unreasoned hurry, however, such activities are increasingly viewed as rare luxuries. If we are ever to restore such a margin to overloaded lives, it is first essential to understand what margin is and why it disappeared. In medicine, physicians realize that illness cannot be conquered until it is first identified. All of our therapeutics flow from a correct diagnosis of the disease. If margin is fundamental to healthy living, where did it go and how do we get it back? That modernity arrived accompanied by so much exhaustion and psychic distress was embarrassingly mispredicted by futurists over the past 50 years. In the previous millennium, it was widely believed that education, affluence, time-saving devices, and labor-saving technologies would deliver a world progressively diminished of hurry and tension. The opposite happened, and many are still trying to understand exactly how such a sabotage could broadside an entire culture without warning. The explanation is fairly straightforward, yet still not widely comprehended. Our enemy is also our beneficiary, progress. Progress is helping, but not pure. Even as progress resulted in many advantages, it is also accompanied by disadvantages. Progress brings blessing, but it also brings pain. Progress works by differentiating our environment. Thus, progress always gives us more and more of everything faster and faster. Always. This differentiation is not a problem as long as what we need is more. Of everything. Faster and faster. When overloaded, however, more and more faster and faster becomes problematic. The bottleneck is the established fact of human limits. Limits are both real and universal. If we all have limits, that means we all have thresholds to those limits. If we all have thresholds, that means it is just a matter of time before an escalating progress finds these thresholds and exceeds them. This is now being done with frightening suddenness. As a result, most of us now live beyond the threshold of our limits. Hey, do I have a testimony out there? Any of you identifying with feeling out of balance or things are going faster and faster and you can't keep up? Pressures are mounting. and all these time-saving devices are eating up more of your time than you ever imagined? Okay, back to this introduction. As a result, most of us now live beyond the threshold of our limits. Overload is the new human condition. We have too many choices and decisions, too many activities and commitments, too much change creating too much stress. We have too much speed and hurry. We have too much technology, complexity, traffic, information, possessions, debt, expectations, advertisements, and media. We even have too much work. When on the unsaturated side of our limits, we can be open and expansive. We can say yes to new opportunities, activities, and obligations. But on the saturated side of our limits, the rule of the game totally changed. We cannot say yes to something until we say no to something equally time-consuming or energy-draining. It is important to notice that these trends are not self-correcting. If progress were to slow or stop, our economy would fall apart. To date, this lacks bipartisan support. Therefore, progress will continue to give us more, axiomatically leading to increased stress, change, complexity, speed, intensity, and overload. Such a list is not a negative as it might first appear, but it certainly implies that discernment must be used and priorities must be clear when choosing any future course of action. These issues have special significance for spiritually minded people. We have limits just like everyone else. Once these limits are exceeded, we have no margin for prayer, for caring, for service, for stillness, for community. That I have limits, of course, in no way means that God has limits. His most spectacular work is accomplished in the face of human limits. We are yet secure. Well, this introduction goes on for a few more paragraphs, but let me read the first reflection called Priorities, from Richard A. Swenson's book, A Minute of Margin, Restoring Balance to Busy Lives. And this is entitled, One September Morning on the 103rd Floor. And then he has a quote by William Law, 18th century British theologian. If you attempt to talk with a dying man about sports or business, he is no longer interested. He now sees other things as more important. People who are dying recognize what we often forget, that we are standing on the brink of another world. The skies were partly clouded, the temperature was 68 degrees, the wind was out of the west at 10 miles per hour. A beautiful day. At 8:45 a.m., people working on the 103rd floor were pouring their morning coffee, straightening their desks, reviewing their Tuesday appointments, bantering with office mates, glancing at the harbor. 1 minute later, none of that mattered. 20 floors below, a 757 transected the building, leaving the 103rd cut off, trapped, hopeless, but not yet dead. When you have 10 minutes to live, what are your thoughts? What is important in the last seconds? As a tribute to those nameless faces staring down at us from the smoky inferno, can we stop what we are doing long enough to listen to them? Seeing death from this perspective is not morbid. On the contrary, it can help us see life. Those who found phones called, not their stockbrokers to check the latest ticker, not their hairstylist to cancel the afternoon's appointment, not even their insurance agents to check coverage levels. They called spouses to say, I love you, one last time. Children to say, you are precious, one last time. Parents to say, thank you, one last time. Through tears, they called best friends, neighbors, pastors, and priests and rabbis. I just want you to know what you mean to me. And surely those standing on the brink of another world thought of God, of truth and eternity, judgment and redemption, grace, and the gospel. Imminent death has a commanding power to straighten life's priorities with a jolt. At such dramatic moments, people suddenly realize that priorities matter. Tragically, however, chronic overloading obscures this truth. How we live influences how we die, and misplaced busyness leads to terminal regrets. If we don't move to establish and then guard that which matters most, The breathless pace of daily overload will blind us to eternal priorities until one day we stand at such a window and look down, perhaps with regret. And then the author has a little RX, kind of like his medicine. Slow the pace of living until you again remember that day. If that were you on the 103rd floor, what would have been important? Live it. Don't hide behind the excuse of overload. Daily make space in your life for the things that matter most. And then he ends this thought with the Swedish proverb, "The afternoon knows what the morning never dreamed." Well, that was reflection number one from A Minute of Margin, Restoring Balance to Your Busy Lives. Thank you, God, for this book. And thank you, God, for the listeners that are tuned in for this, the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. If you just tuned in, Pastor Jason Schiffel couldn't make it out to the home studio, and the phone lines aren't working here, so I couldn't call him up. He'll certainly be in Friday as we continue our study through the book of Acts. Joey Kroll will have a devotional thought for you tomorrow. And I'm going to close out with Be Still by the National Christian Choir. May you throughout this day or night find points of application where you can be still and quiet and allow God to transform those moments in your heart and mind, put your priorities in order, learn to love God and love others, and take a breath and slow down. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.